The Boston Celtics acquired Anthony Simons via trade this summer, and now they can't seem to get rid of him. The trade market unkind right now for Boston. Plus, Kyrie Irving with some thoughts on the draft doesn't need to be abolished. I'm Trevor Lade. This is the Basketball Bulletin. Make sure you subscribe right here to the channel. We've said it before, but about 70% of you watching this, we look at the numbers, they tell us that you are not actually subscribed to the channel. Let's fix that. Hit that subscribe button. Joining me is Donnie Freeman. Donnie, how you doing? The trade market, it's been fairly busy this season, and the Celtics have done a lot of work already, but I don't know if they intended to keep Anthony Simons, and now they can't find any takers.
I'm doing pretty good, Trev.
What the heck was that? What is happening?
Oh, sorry. That was my alter ego kicking in right there.
Oh my God. We got to save that for the Halloween episode.
Oh, it's not too far away either.
That's coming up.
Yeah. Oh so God. Anyway, jokes aside, Jesus. I could go deeper too. On Simons. Oh, no. Yeah.
I'm not going to say it.
Are you talking about Grady Dick?
Oh no.
All right, moving on. The Celtics,
we're not normally like this ever. Hit the subscribe button.
No, we're not like this unless it's one of those times where we are like this. I think that in all seriousness, the Celtics are in an interesting spot here because they could have found another piece to their team a year from now, and he could be that guy, but they're apparently trying to trade him. I'm not terribly surprised if they're struggling to find teams, though, to pick up on his contract. Is he extension eligible as well?
Anthony Simons is extension eligible.
That's another thing, too.
Yeah, so I think that's part of the thing here is we've got, you know, Anthony Simons, obviously, I thought that was a great trade, by the way, for the Celtics. They were able to move Drew Holiday, and they get Anthony Simons is a talented player. I like Anthony Simons, 26 years old, but really the value here for the Celtics was he's an expiring contract, right? Where they were able to clear a lot of future salary. I didn't like the move for the Blazers. It may work out just fine for them, but that's a lot of future salary to take on your books in Drew Holiday for a player who's already 35 years old and has a history of injury issues. So that was why I didn't like that for Portland. But for the Celtics side, you're taking that Drew Holiday salary and you're removing the second and third years on that. However, Anthony Simons may or may not be a guy that they actually want to build around for the long term, or build with, I should say, because really they're building around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But if they don't feel like Anthony Simons really fits that MO, and I'm questionable on if he does or not, because reportedly the Celtics want to play super fast and shoot tons of threes this year, and that's exactly what Anthony Simons does. So he fits in that way, but defensively, he doesn't really fit the scheme that I think the Celtics would want to use. But that said, it doesn't surprise me that they're struggling to move him. They brought him in, I thought, on a good deal because of his contract. But teams don't want to pay guys who are primarily score-first options that struggle defensively. And I think that's one of the things we're seeing around the NBA right now. And so it doesn't surprise me that they're not finding value in trades for Simons at the moment.
I feel like we've been talking about several of those guys recently where it's like this just style of player is the one that teams are the most, or one of the ones that teams are most reluctant to pay today. And if you're Simons, I mean, you're obviously going to try to position yourself to get a, you know, an extension that's worth more than, you know, the 26 you're currently on. And year over year, he's been pretty good. He's been a really good scorer, but he does have some of the same deficiencies of some of the other guys. And like I said, I do think he could be a piece with Boston, because I don't like having one entry point isn't a weakness to your defense isn't the biggest thing, especially if they're a high value shooter or scorer for your team. You really just don't want to have multiple of those guys. And I think he could fit in offensively into what they try to do there. And he's also young enough. Obviously they're not the youngest team anyway, but he fits in with that as well, with their main core guys. But maybe they would like to get another player that's more of a defensive guy, that is more of a spot up guy, things like that. But yeah, it's not terribly surprising. We've been talking about these guys all week trying to get this contract extension.
Yeah, we've been talking about Cam Thomas. We've been talking about Malik Monk, these guys who are at their heart score first players, but don't have necessarily the most well-rounded games. And I think that's true of Anthony Simons. It's true of those other players as well. Cam Thomas reportedly thinking he might be worth $40 million Even 30 million, I think, is a stretch right
now. And all these guys are ballers too. Some of them get it a little bit differently. Some of them are more on the ball, ISO, this and that. But they're all really great basketball players. It's just today's NBA really values versatility, and they don't have the full versatility.
Well, and this is where, when we talk about winning at the highest level, what happens is you see players who are really talented, but if you have a deficiency on either side of the ball in the playoffs, that gets picked on.
Yeah,
play after play after play.
He's going to be a target, for example, a year from now in Boston. Like I said, I don't have a problem with one guy being a target individually if they're a high value offensive player, but he would be a target. They're going to isolate him, switch onto him, all that stuff.
So what's the value then for Anthony Simons? Because I think that's part of the challenge here. It's not so much teams don't like Anthony Simons. I think he's a very good basketball player. It's teams not wanting to commit to his next contract. So are we in that? And by the way, we don't know what Anthony Simons would want on his next deal. But is this another player that we're putting into that Jonathan Kuminga, Josh Giddey conversation where they want $30 million, but what teams are offering is 20? Should it be more than that? Should it be less? Where does Anthony Simons fit in all of that? And because our chat's going to mention it anyway, how do you factor in the whole Austin Reeves situation with that as well?
Yeah, I frankly, I'm surprised we're not hearing anything about this already, because he's eligible now and he's just on an expiring deal. Nothing's happening. So I'm surprised that we're not hearing anything about this, unless they have to wait because of the trade, maybe.
Well, if you're the Celtics, you would rather, I think the value was that he's an expiring contract. You don't want to take away that unless you're getting him on a team friendly deal.
Yeah, but from Anthony's side, I'm sure he would like to start these conversations at this point, you know, figure out what's going on. Is he going to stay there? But so that I'm kind of surprised that we're not already hearing more about him. And one of the things I'd like to say is, because we've been talking a lot about salaries lately, whether it's the guys we mentioned earlier, Wiggins, etc. I think that's a multi-pronged thing. There's a layer to it where it's like, okay, the player is maybe worth X amount on the open market. Right. And that can be impacted by other competition. Like if there's a bunch of guards out there, it will be kind of hard for Simons to get the max amount of money he may want because the team may opt to go for another player. Some of that also is, you know, other factors like age, et cetera. But ultimately, there's that layer. And then there's the layer where it's like, OK, well, if we're Boston and we really value Simons, we may give him a few million more than what he could get on the open market in order to retain him. Now, in the new CBA, teams are trying to avoid doing that as much as possible, right? Yeah. But that's where this could be something that's situational, because you could say one guy is or isn't worth a certain amount and then run down the gauntlet of other guys making a similar amount and say, well, is that guy worth that? Is this guy worth that? So that's where like Austin always gets brought up. But to answer your question, I'm going to say I think that Simons, for his skill set, his production, I think he's probably right around where he should be. Maybe low 20s in the current NBA CBA, but on a deal like that, extended out for multiple years, I think that'd be really good. And so I wanted to explain those two different layers of looking at it, because we may say that like Simons is worth 22 or something like that, 25, whatever, right? That doesn't mean that we necessarily think all the other guys are worth 30. For example, Austin, again, people are going to say, oh, but you think Austin is worth 30 or 30, 35, whatever. Well, that's just what he's going to get. That's just the reality, right? That doesn't mean that I think he's particularly worth that, even though I think he's a great player and is certainly underrated among people that don't value him as much, right? So I think that's another piece of it.
I mean, when we're talking about it, there's a bigger piece to all of this that is becoming more important under the new collective bargaining agreement, or newer, we're 2 years into it now, but it's what it means for building out your roster in a more restrictive system with the first and second tier apron. And so do you have a team that already has your top two in place and that you feel that third guy can make $30 million and you still have enough depth? Is your third guy good enough to make up for the lack of depth that you would have by paying that guy $30 million? And if the answer is no, then you may be, because depth is more important in today's NBA, you may be better off having two guys making $15 million than one guy making 30. Because what we're seeing is there's, in my mind, a big jump between the true top tier, max level 1A, the Giannis's, the Jokic's, the Lucas, that, you know, all those guys, the top tier 1A guys, and that group, the Tyler Heroes, that, you know, if we want to put Cam Thomas in that, Austin Reeves is in that. all of those guys, right? That are, there's a big gap between those two things. And so if we're talking about paying an Austin Reaves, or in this case, an Anfernee Simons, you know, not that far off of what one of those true top tier max guys would get. That's just, that's a lot of salary taken up if you already have two of those top tier guys on. If you're looking to do that two stars and depth build that everybody's trying to do right now, it becomes difficult to do if you have a third guy that's making 30 million you can get away with, I think, but 35, 40 million, that's where you start really getting into some trouble. So that's where that third guy has to be able to be a two-way player. And I think that's what Anfernee Simons has to prove for him to get that extension that, you know, we would assume that he wants. That's what Cam Thomas has to prove. That's what Austin Reaves is going to have to prove. He's going to have to prove that he can defend at a high level in order for him to be worth that in the grander scheme of things. In a vacuum, do we say, hey, a guy a couple of tiers below a superstar might be worth $30 million? Sure. But in terms of building out a team that can actually win, can you pay that guy that much money if they have serious limitations? That's where it becomes a bit more problematic. And that's going to be the Celtics' decision, or whoever's decision on Anfernee Simons. That's going to be the Lakers' decision on Austin Reaves, the Heat's decision on Tyler Hero, all of those guys that are kind of in that category.
Absolutely. And you can extend that out to at least Giddy and Kuminga, I think, as well. Like, are they going to be worth the money that they're asking for if they're just not really two-way players? Like, Kuminga doesn't really defend, but he's got the tools to do it, so you would project him to be able to be better, but he's not great on that end. Giddy, same deal. So yeah, I think that you can extend that out to any, and you could even take it further. Anybody trying to make a roster in today's NBA, if you are trying to make a roster, you've got to provide very specific skill sets. So if you're not going to be a two-way player, the team has to really need what you're providing, one. And two, you've got to be super elite at what you're doing out there.
You got to be elite at it. Yep.
Unless they're just a bottom feeder team or something like that. And a lot of teams are opting for that two-star build. But I think with maybe a guy like Luka, I don't know that you necessarily need that, because he's so ball dominant, heliocentric, that you get diminishing returns at times when you've got too much on ball creation, assuming Luke is out there healthy playing every game, you know, the way that he would be. But for some of these other teams, I think that, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And when we talk about Boston, they've also got Derek White on the books at like $30 million, right?
Yeah.
So that's a lot of money if you're going to extend Simons, keep building around those other three guys, to ask for him to make that much money, unless you're going to get right back into the rabbit hole that they just got themselves out of, where they had like five guys making 30 plus. So,
yeah. And this is a topic for another day, but there's been some criticism about the collective bargaining agreement because it causes teams to have to break up that are good teams, because they got to drop below that second tier apron. They don't want to deal with the long-term penalties of that. There's also been, I've seen a lot of this discourse across social media too, a lot of people praising the new collective bargaining agreement because teams are making more difficult choices with their players, because teams are being more careful about long-term salary. You know, a few years ago, when we're looking at a player like Cam Thomas, we're looking at a player like Giddy, the Zach LaVine deal, right? I mean, the Zach LaVine deal, right? Where anybody who's all-star adjacent just kind of automatically gets a max.
Yeah.
And that's not the case anymore. Now, I mean, De'Aaron Fox got maxed, but you look at the Atlanta Hawks are trying to be careful with Trae Young. We don't know if they're going to ultimately give him a max or not, for better or worse, but that's the new reality that we're living in. And teams are also attaching a lot more non-guaranteed money to salaries. They're just being a lot more responsible with their contracts and much more careful with their contracts. And so all of that gets wrapped up into this, in terms of, is this new collective bargaining agreement good or bad? And I think the guys that are getting squeezed are the players that aren't two-way players, the Anfernee Simons of the world. And that's why he's still sitting here, even on an expiring contract, and the Celtics aren't trading him. I think if they wanted to trade him for a non-expiring contract, they could potentially find that. But teams are so dead set on maintaining future cap space, and the Celtics are certainly going to be one of them. They're going to be very careful how they spend their money moving forward. But it's the Malik Monks, the Cam Thomases, the Anfernee Simons, these guys who are really just scorers that are seeing their value, I think, take the biggest hit in this new market that we've got. So it'll be interesting to see what the Celtics ultimately do with him. Do they sign him to an extension just so they don't lose him for nothing? Are they okay with losing him for nothing, knowing that they still cleared their books? What kind of contract does he get on his next deal? Does a team need his skill set? it's players like him that are getting, I think, squeezed the most in this new collective bargaining agreement. And the Celtics not being able to find a trade to flip him, I think, is a symptom of that.
Yep, I agree with you.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Kyrie. We talked more about Anthony Simons than I expected to.
Me too. I thought that was going to be 5 minutes on Simons.
And here we are. Well, the way we started this show, yeah, we knew we were going to be off the rails right from the beginning. But let's talk about Kyrie Irving. So Kyrie had these comments. He's been doing these streams and everything, and we know Kyrie's recovering. Maybe we see him in January with the Mavs. Maybe we see him in February, something like that. But there's a lot of updates and things like that that we're going to need to get along the way. But Kyrie's been doing these streams lately, and in one of the ones that he did, I believe he's doing them over on Twitch, and in one of the ones that he did, he talked a little bit about coming into the NBA and being drafted and how that was actually kind of detrimental to him. And I think it opens us up to discuss, should the draft just be gotten rid of? Would that actually be a better situation for players? So let's get into this. This is real short here on just what Kyrie said about being drafted.
Franchise I wanted to go to. You know what I'm saying? I would have loved to develop next to some of my favorite players and some of my favorite people. You know, because being a young player, when you're on a team that's not winning a lot of games, it's a lot of bad habits that form. And that's what ended up happening to me when I was very young. I had a lot of bad habits. I was not a winner. I was not a loser, you know, at all. Like, I take my accountability. I had a lot of bad habits as a young player. And that came from losing games and just trying to get buckets all the time. Right. I know it may have been beautiful for everybody to watch and getting all the highlights and getting all the accolades, but all I really wanted to do was win. I've won a high school championship.
All right. So Kyrie says he gets drafted. He would have liked to have been able to go to the franchise that he wants to go to. He gets drafted by a bad team. They're playing bad basketball. He says, I'm not a good winner. I wasn't a good loser. I was getting buckets, but I developed a ton of bad habits as a basketball player. How much of a factor do you think that, like, are we seeing young players' development stunted because we have a draft system that rewards bad play?
I can think of a number of guys around the NBA that I'm not going to name any names, but maybe you guys in the chat can listen to what I'm going to say and put them in the comments, because I don't want the hate for it. But I can think of a number of guys that go to these situations that are empowered to have the ball the entire time, especially if they're a guard, point guard especially. Mm-hmm. And they go out there, they put up good statistics, they chuck the ball all game long, this and that, but it doesn't amount to winning. And you could look at it year over year, and their statistics look good. They may even make an all-star team, but it doesn't amount to winning.
Empty calories.
Yeah, and Kyrie was one of those guys. I mean, he was super fun to watch, though. Like, sure. He was legit, man. And I don't think Kyrie was, like, just a chucker type guy, but maybe that's just some bad recollection there. But, yeah, Kyrie was one of those guys where they just kept drafting year over year, super high. They got Wiggins, they got Bennett, they got Waiters. They had Thompson in the same draft as Kyrie as well.
Three number one overall picks in 4 years.
Anthony Davis is sandwiched in there somehow. So, like, that just tells you they just were never good in that Kyrie only stint, and they kept drafting high, kept putting players around, and it just didn't work. They did select Wiggins, but I don't believe he ever played, right? He was drafted and then immediately.
He was drafted and then, you remember, LeBron didn't even mention him in that letter, and then he got traded for Kevin Love. Yeah, and he went to Minnesota. Yeah.
So basically it's just the next couple of years, which can you pull up the 2012 draft? Like I said, I think that's Waiters at four. Anyway, yeah. So, like, I don't think we need to abolish the draft because, Waiters went above Lillard. Oh, Thomas Robinson. I forgot all about
Thomas
it.
Robinson, man.
Oh, wow.
The athleticism from Thomas Robinson when he first came into the NBA. That was a thing.
Myers Leonard, Jeremy Lamb.
God, some of these drafts are funny.
So they weren't able to do anything. And I don't know that, like I said, that may be too drastic of a resolution. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things you could see guys start to congregate on just like their favorite teams. You could get just too many of these guys going to like the Lakers or something like that.
Suggested. If you were to make, what if you just, I mean, we make it a system like soccer or something, and you just say there is no draft. What would happen if you have to, let's say that all players coming into the NBA out of college are just eligible for an NBA contract. If you want to max a player, you can max a player. And you'll have to deal with the salary cap ramifications of that. They're all just free agents. In that way, the players would then get to decide. We see it now, right? Where players, we saw it. Look, there was the video going around of Rich Paul that said, hey, they called the Phoenix Suns and said,
oh yeah,
I can get Kaman Malyuwatch to you, right? At 10, I can make sure he's still there, right? Like now there's all this manipulation behind the scenes of agents and players trying to force their way to specific teams. But it's because of what Kyrie's talking about, saying, hey, I went to a team. We were bad. I developed a bunch of bad habits. I don't think he dislikes his time in Cleveland, but he's saying being on a bad team was detrimental to my development as an NBA player. And players are concerned more about their development, their long-term future. And so if you created a system that would just allow them to go to whatever they think is going to benefit them the most, and if the bad teams have more money to spend than the good teams, maybe they can make that financial decision too. But should that be something that's considered over just the draft, where now you've got Kyrie going to a spot where he says, I chucked up shots for years and you know, I got buckets, but I didn't really develop as a player the way I needed to.
Yeah, he said, it might have looked nice to you guys, but I had a lot of bad habits. Right. He just spat in my face where I said, man, Kyrie was legit to watch. He's like, no, it might have looked
nice. he was fun to watch. he admitted it. He said, yeah, it was fun to watch, but
yeah. I think that could be cool, but I think you would need more of these guys to come out and talk about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to hear from, and maybe he's already said it and I just haven't looked into it, like a guy like Fultz. What happened there? Like, what happened with that situation with him?
Sure.
I know that he dealt with injuries and stuff like that, but what happened there? I'd like to see a retrospective on Ben, you know, because he only was really there for like 3-4 years, and then it just kind of, the bottom fell out, right? Like, I'd love to hear Bennett, especially, like, what if he had went somewhere else.
That draft was a mess, though.
Yeah. If he had went somewhere else, is he a better player? I don't know, right? But
sure.
I would love to hear from more of these guys to kind of come to a consensus conclusion, but I think that could be interesting. Absolutely. Because I do think there are a lot of guys, like I was mentioning earlier, that are in these situations and they're never really able to break free of it. Yeah. And maybe they just like playing that way. Maybe they don't mind it so much. Maybe they're not as interested in being in a winning situation. Maybe they just want to get their numbers, make as much money as possible and call it. There's certainly guys like that. And I'm sure that some of these guys fall into that category. But if you are Kyrie and you're looking at it in hindsight saying, okay, well, we could have been better. I should have been better. I learned bad habits. And he goes on to talk about the time with LeBron afterwards and basically makes it sound like, if he had better habits, they could have been better. So that if you're looking at it from that perspective, then certainly that makes a lot of sense. And that's why I think like Cooper's situation this year is really cool, really unique, because he is going to come in and not be, they're going to put the ball in his hands. They're going to give him all the opportunity that he could ask for, but he's not going to be expected to lead this team to the promised land from day one. He's not going to be expected to come in and put up 20 shots a night and just do all this other stuff that some of these other organizations would expect of him had he went elsewhere. Because Dallas, say what you will about them, there are questions, of course, but they have aspirations of being a title contender this year, right?
Sure.
And again, there's question marks, but they will have him in a situation where he is flanked by a lot of other guys and he doesn't have to go out there and be somebody that will develop these bad habits. And a little bit of homework. I asked Trev about this prior. I'd have to do it, but I want you guys to do it. So bear with me on that. Who's another guy like that? Was it maybe Worthy? Is Worthy like the last guy that went number one overall that kind of was in a situation like that? And that was extremely unique with the way that happened, just like this, right? Yeah. Like, as if people cry rigged this and that, and okay, it's weird, right? It's kind of,
and that was also Cavs related, because that's how the Lakers got that pick, was from our old friend Ted Stepien.
I'm talking about this one though, with Coop. People call rigged,
sure,
but it's kind of hard to rig these guys going down with all those injuries, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
because that's the hole in the
conspiracy theory, is that, you know, the Mavs were not be in position to draft Cooper Flagg had Kyrie Irving not got hurt. And there's no way the NBA could have predicted that Kyrie was going to get hurt was going to tear his ACL, or, you know, that's the,
yeah,
that's the problem with that whole
thing. So that's like, guys, the point is that, like, it's extremely rare for a number one overall pick to go to a situation where they're not expected to be the savior. And they're on a team with aspirations, or in the case of the Lakers, coming off of a chip, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's not common. Maybe you can find some guys in the top five that applies to, but yeah, I'm sure a lot of the guys, especially just lottery in general, Kyrie was one, so I equated it to one, but just a lot of lottery guys, I'm sure this applies to what Kyrie was saying.
I think ultimately, if you were to, it would be beneficial to players. It would benefit players' development if they were able to essentially pick their landing spot through free agency. And there are ways you could level the playing field. Maybe the teams that lose more get more money to spend and all of that. But that's not necessarily the goal of the NBA, right?
You're going to see some owners that only want to make money.
Well, sure. I mean, right. But that's not necessarily like the NBA. Yeah. The reason why the draft system is set up the way it is not the NBA wants to see players develop, of course. But especially today's NBA, it's about not having any particular team stuck on the bottom for too long. It's also about not having any particular team at the top for too long either. They want a constant cycle here. And so the way you do that is by giving the top end talent, those early picks, to the bad teams. And so you make them not be bad teams anymore. Now you can say they're bad teams because they made bad decisions, and bad decisions are going to perpetuate, and that's going to continue a cycle. But the NBA doesn't want that. They don't want the Sacramento Kings missing the playoffs for 17 straight seasons. They want fans to feel like their team has a shot year in and year out, and stay bought in and stay engaged and stay fans of that team and not distance themselves from a losing product. And so that's where the idea of allowing players to pick their teams, or essentially having some sort of free agency or whatever other system you want to have in order to allow players coming into the league to go to the team ultimately that they feel like will do the best job developing them. The problem with that is it doesn't necessarily go hand in hand with the league's goals in terms of fan engagement, keeping teams from being on the bottom for any particular time, parity, essentially. That's the issue that you run into. And so essentially the draft, what it allows you to do is create more parity and try to mitigate any situation where a team could stay on the bottom for too long. And that's, I think, the bigger goal for the NBA over player development. So from a league perspective, free agency or any other system than the draft, probably not something that they're going to agree with. From the player side, though, I think Kyrie's absolutely right. And I think there's situations where players go to a spot that's not good for them, and they're going to develop bad habits. And who knows what Kyrie could be right now or would have been had he not developed and then have to unlearn those bad habits that he did early in his career. What if he had wound up with a team that gave him the mentorship and everything else that he needed? And again, I don't think it's necessarily a negative to Cleveland specifically. It's all these teams that are really bad, that are poor, that don't necessarily have that kind of setup for a young player to come in and thrive and develop. That don't have the other veterans out there, the veterans on the roster to show them the way. I do think there's something to this idea that we are in some ways setting back the development of players with the draft system that we have currently.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I can agree completely that, like I said, I think there are guys around the NBA, no matter where they're drafted, especially if they're high expectation picks that have been let down potentially by this system. Now, I don't want to say that because it takes the onus off the player to improve and do what they need.
Sure, absolutely.
But I'm sure there are some guys that certainly fall into this category, at least with development of bad habits and stuff like that. So makes a lot of sense. You know, I was thinking this was going to be about half the length of this video.
we got to talking about these big topics here.
It basically was a podcast, which is pretty nice because we've got the podcast feed as well. So if you guys haven't already, make sure you check out the podcast feed.
Yep, definitely go check that out over Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us today. Give us your thoughts in the comments down below. What do you think about Anthony Simons? How does it relate to the Boston Celtics' inability to find a trade for him? How does that relate to everybody else around the NBA that might be in that tier when we talk about the Tyler Heroes, the Cam Thomases, maybe the Jonathan Kamingas, the Jonathan Giddies, Josh Giddies, the Austin Reeves of the world? How do all of those players ultimately fit in today's NBA? And what is an appropriate salary for that tier of player? Give us your thoughts in the comments down below. And of course, on what we just talked about, the draft. Kyrie Irving making an interesting point about his development and maybe a case for changing our draft system. Give me your thoughts. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. Till next time, see ya and stay safe.